You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now, Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks.
Hey, this is Bucky Brooks, and we have a special edition of the Move the Sticks podcast. My partner, Daniel Jeremiah, is not here today. But in for DJ is my man, who I owe a couple apologies to, Kayvon Thibodeau, first-round pick, the 5th overall pick for the New York Giants. I have to apologize. So before I let you talk, I'm going to go ahead and give you your flowers. I was wrong. You came in doing path to the draft. We had like a little mock draft conversation. I think I had you pegged to go 9 to the Seattle Seahawks. Obviously, I was incorrect. You go before I had you pegged. You go 5th. You're the top dog now. You're in the Big Apple. You're the king of New York, as they say. How's everything going? How's everything been since the last time I saw you before the draft?
I mean, it's been a whirlwind. You know, I feel like stuff has slowed down now, you know, now that it's real football and I can go back to training, I go back to everything. But, you know, just making sure I'm putting everything in line before I get back and before training camp actually starts has still been just nonstop.
Yeah, look, that's one of the things. Like, for you, this season will be the longest season of your NFL career because it hasn't been a stop. It's been the end of your time at Oregon. It's all the training, the combine training, going through all that, the draft process, mini camps, OTAs, all that other stuff. Then you get to the season. It won't be until February until you get a chance to kind of, like, sit back, breathe, and those things. But let me talk to you about the draft, because the draft was so weird, because now that we can be real and now that you're in the league, we can kind of talk about the soap opera that was the pre-draft process. I felt like for you, you were kind of the target of the draft, where everyone wanted to have the conversation about Kayvon Thibodeau. Like, hey, he's not this, he doesn't play hard, he did this and that, and where should he be? And I don't know, he may slide to the middle of the first round. As a player, what is that like to hear? Because I know the politically correct answer was, oh, I don't listen to that or whatever. But on the real, what was that like to kind of deal with all that on the outside?
You got to be strong-minded. I mean, that was, for me, that was the easiest part of it, is the fact that I know who I am and I know, you know, what I dedicate to the game. So I never started to backpedal. You know, I talked to my team day in and day out, just talking about standing on what we stand on and making sure that we, you know, just keep our head up. You know, no matter what came, no matter what, because it was all BS. It was all just smoke and mirrors. So for me, it was just, you know, staying down on my path and knowing that the truth going to come to light eventually.
Yeah. So in thinking about that truth coming to light, like you end up with the New York Giants. The Giants have a reputation for obviously putting out, developing pass rushers. What was your initial thought when you heard the commissioner say Kayvon Thibodeau, New York Giants?
I mean, the truth behind, there was never a thought in my mind where I didn't think I was going to the Giants. Like, it was, and that's my honest truth. Like, you asked me a year ago, I would have said the Giants. Maybe not a year because I didn't know what the record was. But, you know, leading up to the draft, I felt the Giants. I knew that's where I wanted to be regardless of what pick it was. So when the commissioner called it, it was like, it's time. You know, when I'm sitting in the green room and I see, like, okay, we got the Jets next and the Giants, it'll be the Giants.
So what is it about the Giants? What is it about, like, that organization? What was it about how they do things that really appeal to you?
I think it's when I went there, you know, not only how much they dedicated to the process and to me in the process, but just seeing the people around the building, seeing the people, you know, throughout the ins and outs of it. It's like, one, there's a lot of young guys in the building, and not just on the team, but I mean in the back office. So they do have like a forward thinking. And then just seeing how they all come together, there's not probably not one person who's, you know, down in the building. Everybody kind of is buying into to what they have. And, you know, a lot of places where they don't really tell you before the process is, there's usually a disconnect between like the back office and the coaches. There, I feel like it's a really good mesh. So everybody's on the same page with who they want and how they want the system to be ran.
So what was that first conversation like with Brian Daboll? The head coach comes over. He appears to have a ton of energy. It seems like energy is the thing that they have going. When I see the clips of practice or whatever, it seems like energy, enthusiasm, effort, those are the things that they kind of harp on. What was it like when you had that first conversation with him?
Well, the first one I had, it's actually funny. When we had the the combine and all that going on, he was in there talking, and I had looked over a sheet. You know, your agent gives you a sheet of all the coaches and stuff like that. But I just must have skipped over because I had no idea. He was grilling me. I had no idea who he was. It's the saddest thing. And I'm sitting there and I'm taking it. I'm like, all right. When I walked out, I'm like, oh, that was the head coach. You know what I mean? But it made sense at the end. And then when I actually finally got there, it was like, you know, he just talked about being a pro. And now we are pros. And now there's a certain way that we got to do things. And as long as we just continue to get those reps and continue developing, we're going to be good. And then it's all about having fun. You know, so that's what he tries to throw in and just make sure that not only are we getting the work done, but we're having a good time doing it, building that team camaraderie.
Now, I can't think of a better place for you to land when it comes to coaches connectivity. Wink Martindale, the defensive coordinator, great defensive coordinator. We saw the work that he was able to do in Baltimore for years. We've seen the players that have played under him and thrived in that system. What has it been like for you, off-season program, workouts, learning the system? What do you think about Wink Martindale and what he brings?
I mean, the good thing is that, you know, I was able to learn pretty fast. So I've been able to really be on it. And I have the time to now, knowing that this is all I do for a living. So just being able to learn, he does have a lot of moving parts and you can be mixed and plugged anywhere. So really the playbook was the biggest thing and being ready. You know what I mean? Because going in OTAs, I mean, I was in shape, but the type of plays that we're running, you got to be in shape and you got to get right back. And, you know, the greatest thing is he always says, like, if you only got two plays, give us balls to the wall, those two plays, and then we'll get you out and get you right back in. So for me, it was training that stamina, training that wind so that he doesn't have to take me out and I'll be able to, you know, move across the line of scrimmage.
It's funny that you bring that up because that's one of the things that I don't know if many prospects realize, like the combine training, the pro day training is not like getting ready to get on the grass and to kind of go about doing your thing in OTAs and mini camps. And so when you talk about changing your training or changing your conditioning habits, what did you have to change about how you were working out?
Just breathing. You know, a lot of it comes down to breathing. A lot of it comes down to hydrating. So, and me, I didn't even know New York was, you know, that humid and that hot. So for me, it was like, oh man. But just changing my habits and making sure, well, not really changing them, but really upping them and making sure that I focused on, you know, breathing. I focused on being hydrated and I just gave it everything I got because today it might be hard, but tomorrow it'll be easy.
So we talked before we came on live, we talked about the energy in the team and, you know, we talked about all the Southern Cal and L.A. dudes that are on the team from Adoree Jackson. We have Darnay Holmes, all these guys. So what is it like to kind of step into the locker room and kind of feel like you have some familiarity with those guys that are in the locker room?
I think that was the best part. I think they're, you know, over like 20, maybe 25 Pac-12 guys total. So for me, it was like, you know, kind of stepping back into to a culture that I've already known. And then they brought me in, you know, from even the offense, the defense, to everybody, like across the line. But, you know, just having guys really teaching me the culture, you know, giving me the ins and outs of the city and just, you know, how to move and how to maneuver and how to kind of stay dedicated and stay focused on the task at hand.
You know, so one of the things that is the transition, you said that coach talked to you about being a professional. And so running up to the draft, like you kind of think you're a professional, but then when your name is called and you begin to kind of be a part of the team and then all the other stuff with the contracts, now you are a pro. What have you learned quickly in the 2 or 3 months since you've been a pro that you didn't know before?
I think the funniest moment I had, I asked my coach, I said, hey, coach, can I go to the bathroom? He's like, yeah, you can go to the bathroom. I'm going to just take it out your check. You know, and that, it was a joke, but it was funny just to see, like, that's how it is nowadays. You can show up, you can do whatever you want to do. It'll just come out your check because now it's a business. It's been a business.
So, like, because you always struck me as the type that was very mature, like mature beyond your age, like be it high school, being in college, now going to the thing. What has it been like? Because I felt like you always kind of handled yourself like a pro. Has it been much of a change in terms of like just being on the details with everything on and off the field?
I feel like it's been the same, but just now you have ultimate control of the narrative. Right now, I can dictate, you know, what's out there and what I put out there. Now I've had, you know, 3 or 4 years of practice and 3 or 4 years of kind of maintaining and staying poised throughout the situation. So now I feel like I've been primed for the Big Apple. I've been primed for, you know, what's to come.
You know, and think about the Big Apple, because there's always a thing about playing in New York. Like, the stage is big, expectations are big, people will talk about the media and those things. Does that change your approach when it comes to letting people know who you are and what you're about? Because you've been very vocal and outspoken about a lot of different things that you kind of touch on. Does it change because now you have a bigger platform on a bigger stage?
I don't think it does change. I feel like I've always been a guy to speak for the little people, and I'm going to be a guy who continues to do that. And then just, you know, staying on my message, making sure I stay on that yellow brick road and I maintain everything that I have in store.
You know, so in thinking about some of the things you talk about, speaking for the little people, you have always been a giver. You always give back to the community. You've always been about, like, uplifting those that come behind you. So let's talk about some of the things that you've currently done. One of the things is I saw you did a partnership with Core Prep. Let's just talk about Core Prep and what you're doing in the community to help the young people, the next generation.
Yeah, so Core Prep is an academy. It's a basketball academy, and I had some great conversations with their founder, Ty Wilson, and we've built a partnership where he's going to allow me to bring in more resources and start a football program, and not only start the football program, but bring scholarships into the school so that more kids from the inner city area can go in for free. And we'll also do transportation and meals and uniforms and things like that. We're also bringing in, you know, Nike and other big brands to help us push that so that we can give these kids, you know, access to a premier education.
So, and thinking about that, because I've heard you talk about education being big, like you are a kid, South Central, understand it. You've been able to come out of that. You've been able to be successful. Why is it so important for you to give back now based on where you are?
I feel like that's been my mission the whole way, right? I've been trying to bring people along with me. And now that I'm here, more people are going to listen, you know, because I've been able to. The one thing about my community is they want to see what you're doing and what you have done. You know what I mean? You can't talk without some type of backing or something behind you. So now that I have the backing, I put the proof, you know, in the pudding, it's time. And, you know, now that I'm hot, you know, it's hard to get those callbacks when you're not hot. So now that I'm hot, I want, you know, all these big brands and the different associations and partnerships that I have that believe in me. I want them to believe in the kids that I believe in.
You know, it's really great to hear. Now, the skeptic, the haters out there would say, well, how are you going to be able to balance some of the stuff that you're doing away from the field with performing and excelling at a high level on the field? What do you say to those people who are worried about the balance when it comes to that?
There are two words that have always been important to me, and it's empowerment and it's mutually beneficial. So for me, I'm going to deal with brands who make it mutually beneficial for me to work with them. They're going to allocate resources. They're going to allocate members of their associations or members of their team to help us. And this is a family organization, right? I'm not just doing it on my own. And when we talk about empowerment, that's the whole point, right? To get people to move up. As I move up in the chain, other people move up. So just having the right people around me and having a great team and people with pure hearts that really want to do good for others, right? We're just going to keep pushing forward.
No, that sounds great. So let's get back to the field and get back to the Giants. And what has kind of been your projected role? Like, this is a team that kind of plays like a hybrid defense, 4-3, 3-4, and those things. What position have you put in, and what do you like about the role that they've kind of talked to you about playing?
I'll be standing up. I'll be standing up most of the time, if not all the time, unless I feel like getting down. That's the great thing about what we have. They're really flexible in, you know, how we play. As long as we're comfortable and as long as we're in the best position to win, they're going to let us do so. But, yeah, there's no really side that I'm on. I'll be playing both sides, right, with Aziz Ojulari and a couple other guys that we have. And, yeah, I'll be playing defensive end and outside linebacker.
So, and given that freedom, because, you know, like, I don't know, did you have that kind of freedom at Oregon where you could stand up or have your hand in the dirt? Is there a lot of responsibility that comes with that kind of freedom, being able to kind of play and get to the spot?
I think it's more about being disciplined. You know, if you can change it up and you can still stay disciplined and still read your keys and execute the game plan, I feel like you'll be fine. There are a lot of guys who've, you know, done both, but it's just making sure that you still can execute your technique while changing it up and still, you know, be focused.
So obviously you've always been like the best player around, right? Like you think about high school, you think about college. So now you step into an NFL locker room and you have other established pros. What is it like to be in the defensive line room or that defensive meeting room and to watch tape and see other guys who are also good? What have you been able to kind of learn and glean from some of the veterans to kind of help you just during this early part of your career?
Just that you got to get better every day. And that's always been the motto, but just seeing them like guys that have been here for 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, 8 years, it's like it never stops. Whether it's practice, whether it's OTAs, whether it's, you know, whatever it is, they're going 110 miles per hour. So knowing that you got to not only train your body, but train your mindset, right? You got to make sure that you're all in all the time, right? And that's going to really carry you through the season and really help you reach the goals that you have.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we push against typical societal norms. We embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful, providing a space for raw, unfiltered conversations that celebrate vulnerability and allow you to tune in, to share, connect, and find comfort together.
Our tears come as a way to let us release what we can't hold anymore.
I trust that no one's ever going to find out those deepest, darkest secrets.
Yeah. It's been a hard day. She walks out, and this is what she looks like.
Oh my gosh, give her an Oscar.
Listen to A Really Good Cry with me, Radhi Devlukia, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So, like, this is kind of like the fun part, but the scary part of year, right? So for coaches, you guys leave in the middle of June, and then you don't come back to the middle of July. And so there's this 4 to 5 week period where you just want to make sure that people are dialed in and diligent about working out. So what are the things that you've been able to do doing this little bit of a sabbatical leading up to training camp to make sure you're going to be ready to go?
Man, I think I just had 2 workouts before I got here, and then I got a workout after this when I leave. So literally I've been doing 3 a days, 6 days a week. And on Saturdays I got 1 practice just to, you know, go ease into the weekend. But just talking about doing everything from yoga to physical therapy to, you know, just every recovery, every resource that we have and everything. Like, I'm trying to be like LeBron, and I'm not going to spend $1 million because, you know, you gotta take care of your body, because that's going to take care of you. So just making sure that I'm going to be in the best shape of my life by the time, you know, training camp comes.
Oh, look, man, that's important. That's the one thing that I always advise to young players when they're making their way into the league. Like, man, fitness, stamina, all that stuff is the most important part. It seems like you have a great hold on that part of it. The last thing. So for you, from a personal standpoint, when we speak, because I'm sure we'll talk again, maybe around the Super Bowl or shortly thereafter, goals for your first season. If I said, like, at the end of the year, Kayvon Thibodeau has accomplished blank, what would be a success for you?
First, we got to win. I think winning, you know, 4 games wasn't enough last year. And I feel like if we can win 8 games, if we can win 9 games, if we can make the playoffs, I think that'll be where I'm feeling good about where we're going to be. But honestly, a Super Bowl, you know, that, I know that sounds crazy as a rookie, mm-hmm. but I feel like we have the talent. I believe in, you know, the guys on the offense and the guys on the defense. So if we could, you know, push that envelope and keep going and build that team camaraderie, I feel like we could be there. We could be in that. I ain't gonna say we gonna be at.
Okay, here we go.
We could be there.
In the building. I love it, man. I love spending time with you. I love having those conversations. I appreciate you joining the Move the Sticks podcast. My listeners, make sure you keep back, tune in to the next Move the Sticks podcast. We'll drop that next week. It was a lot of fun having New York Giants top pick, first round pick, Kayvon Thibodeau. Thanks for joining the program.
Thank you. Appreciate you, Bucky.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.